Amen. We do thank you for your giving. Appreciate you. If you remember last week at the end of the service, Lady Devin gave us a couple financial updates. And so remember those, keep those in your mind. We are working towards something and moving towards something, and we are excited about where God is taking us. But we can't do it without your support, your financial support, as well as your prayerful support. So we thank you for it. All right, let's bow our heads and let's pray over the preaching moment and the preaching atmosphere. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you for another opportunity to share your word with your sheep. God, you've given me to be the shepherd to these, your sheep, and you caused me to feed your sheep with that which you give them something to benefit from. So we pray like we normally pray, that no one's coming would be in vain, God. No one's tuning in would be in vain. They would get something that they could take with them and let no one be the same after they leave. God, we pray for preaching power. Hide me beneath the cross, God. Speak through my mind, think through my mind and speak through my mouth, God. Let it all be all of you and less of me, and no hindrance by any satanic or demonic forces. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Put your Bibles in your hands. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Father God, feed me your word. If you believe you're going to be fed, go ahead and make some noise this morning. Amen. We do thank you for that, because I believe God's going to feed you. We always are looking for the Lord to feed you. I may be the speaker or the mouthpiece, but I'm just the message bearer. I am not the message giver. The giver is from God, and I am just the conduit where he gives the message through. So you're always looking for God to feed you. And that's why when you come to church, even if you don't like the speaker who's speaking, you don't worry about that, because you're not looking at the person. You're looking for God to do the feeding. Amen. Having said that, put this up. This is going to be our title today. Simply, this is called God's Math. God's math. If anybody heard the terminology of God's math, many times people are used this example. I'm going to have them put this example up. The example is 5 + 2 = 5,000, not 7. In normal math, 5 + 2 = 7, but in God, 5 + 2 = 5,000. And that is meaning from the example of the miracle. That's one miracle that is told outside of the resurrection, as told in all four of the gospels. Many of the gospels do not tell all of the same miracles like this, but the feeding of the 5,000 is told in each one of the four gospels. And that's when God took 5 loaves and 2 fish and he fed 5,000. He fed the multitude. So in God's math, things are different. So we're going to be talking about God's math. What we're going to do, we're going to work through 12 kingdom formulas. And so because this is the first day of the 12th month, I've got 12 kingdom formulas. And you might think, well, that's going to take forever. It won't be that long. We're going to work through it expeditiously. But formula, let's define what that is. That is a mathematical relationship or rule expressed in symbols. And so when you get into math, which I was not very good at math, math kind of bothered me, especially when they start talking about X, Y, and Z. I was okay with 2 and 3, but X, Y, and Z kind of threw me off. But those are formulas, and you are taught how you can solve for different things. And so we're going to be thinking in the mindset of kingdom formulas and kingdom math. In other words, we're going to show you when you add certain things together, what should come out when you think of it as relates to the kingdom. So let's start with Matthew 25:14.
Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone.
So this is Jesus talking, and Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom to the listeners. And so in order to do it, he began to use an illustration or a story. God, many times through Jesus, would talk in parables or stories to communicate certain things. But one of the major things he was trying to communicate was the kingdom of God. And so we are a part of the kingdom of God, but we live in the earth. And so the kingdom functions different. Actually, the principles of the earth are actually borrowed from the principles of the kingdom. And if you can understand the principles of the kingdom, you will understand the principles of the earth. And so he's using a natural earthly story to teach a kingdom principle lesson. And he's using a story that relates to money and servants and a master. Look at verse 15.
He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip.
So a wealthy man who had servants divided some money up. He divided it according to what we call talents, and talents was a measure of money. And so the New Living Translation basically says silver, he gave 5 bags to one, he gave 2 bags to the other, and he gave 1 bag to the last. And then he left and he went on his trip. Let's give us some definition of some words that we see in there. This will help us. The word ability, it means possession of the means or skill to do something, talent, skill, or proficiency in a particular area. So when we're looking at the story of the bags of silver, another version calls it talent, but we can also look at it as ability or giftings. Everybody is born with a certain set of giftings. Not everybody has the same giftings. I am not a singer while someone else is talented to sing. I don't have the gifting of singing. Now, just because you don't have the gifting of something doesn't mean you can't learn how to do it. But we're talking about the things that come to certain people naturally. They are by nature athletic. By nature, they are seamstress. They know how to sew. And by nature, they're just good with math, quick with numbers. And so different people have different talents. And so everybody is not given the same thing. All men are created equally, but not all men have the same level of giftings or talents. We understand that. We know that there are certain people who are celebrated celebrities. They are celebrated because of what they can do, the way they can bounce a basketball or throw a football. I was not born 6'8", 6'9". I was born to grow to 5'7", maybe 5'8" at the most. And so even though I love basketball, it was probably true I was not going to be an NBA star. Now, when I was 6'7" and 6'8", you couldn't have told me I wasn't going to play in the NBA. But by the time I got 12, 13, 14, 15, and I realized my skill set and my height did not match my dreams, I had to change some things. And many times we dream things when we are little, but reality sets in. We do not have the same giftings as everybody else. And to be honest, sometimes it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that this person was built like this and this person was big boned. You ever heard somebody say, I'm just big boned. My family is big boned. That's an easy way to say we carry a lot of weight. We're not like everybody else. I have this color skin. You have that color skin. So we are created equal, but we're different and we're varied. And that's the way God created us. And you just have to deal with what God gave you. All right. So that leads me to formula number one. So here's the formula number one. Let's put this formula together. Ability plus capability equals capacity. I'll say it again. Ability. In other words, your God-given ability plus capability, which capability is the power to do the ability that you were given, equals capacity. Let's give us a definition of capacity, a couple definitions, and then we'll explain it for you. So capacity is this. It is the maximum amount that something can contain. Let me show you this oil bottle. When you look at this oil bottle that I have in my hand, it is not at its capacity. It has been used. It is less than half, maybe down to a fourth less, so it's not at its full capacity. And so let's go back to the definition. So the maximum amount that something can contain, fully occupying the available area or space. All right, let's go further. The amount that something can produce, the ability or power to do, experience, or understand something. Let's simplify that with this definition here, maximizing your ability. So what the first formula is, what is ability plus capability equals capacity. In other words, maximizing what you got. You can't be mad at what somebody else has, but it is your responsibility to maximize what you have. You may not have been born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but it doesn't mean you can't maximize what you do have. Maybe you did grow up in the projects, but that doesn't mean you have to have a project mentality. Maybe you did grow up in poverty, but that doesn't mean you have to have a poverty mentality. You have to learn how to take things to its highest capacity. And one of the great things about life is where you start is not where you have to end up. You can always expand and expound on what you have been given. You are not stuck with what you have. You can take what you have and you can make the most of it. In the time in the 30s, after the roaring 20s, there was something called the Great Depression. And in the 30s, people begin to come together. And they were forced to come together because of the level of the economy, and they learned how to maximize what they had. The history teaches us there were many people who lost their life because they were so used to having wealth. They were used to the wealth of the 20s. That way, when the economy switched in the 30s, they didn't know what to do. And so they gave up on life. They despaired. But other people, they learned how to come together. In other words, let's just use it as this example. Yes, we are all broke right now, but I got a Cornish hen and you got green beans. I got a Cornish hen, you got green beans, and you got corn. If we come together, we can fix a meal if we band together and maximize what we have. I could cry about my hen, you could cry about your corn, and you could cry about your green beans, or we could come together and maximize them and make a meal by working together. The people who came out of the Great Depression and came out doing better were ones who learned how to maximize the ability by working together. Stingy people usually don't go very far because it's all about what's mine. But sometimes you need what's yours and you need what's theirs, and you need to bring yourself together and maximize what you have. So the first formula teaches us you can maximize your ability. Let's look at John 10:10 from the Amplified Version. It says this:
the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows.
In the Amplified, it just amplifies the words. And this is Jesus talking. He's saying the thief comes to do all these things, but I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. That's what the King James says. But here in the Amplified, it says that you may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. In other words, I want you to maximize what you have. I want you to bring capacity out of your capability. Here's formula two. So that's going to take us from formula one into formula two. Formula two is this: God's life equals enjoyment plus full plus overflow.
So even if you don't have the wealth of the celebrity, doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. See, the way the American dream teaches us is that we have to have all these things in order to be happy. But somebody taught us a long time ago, money doesn't buy happiness. You got to learn how to create your own happiness. And if you would hook up with God and understand in God, with God's life, you are going to enjoy life and you're going to have it to the full till it overflows. It doesn't mean everything in your life is going to be something that you enjoy, because life has ups and downs. But what it means, after you look at the whole of it. In other words, as one songwriter said, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days, so I won't complain. Yeah, I've had some bad days, but when I look back over my life, I can say God's still been good to me. And so I'm going to enjoy life to the full till it overflows. Now, I may not have the car I want, may not have the house I want, may not be able to go on the vacations I want, may not have the marriage I want, may not have the children I want, but you're not going to stop me from enjoying life, because as long as I got King Jesus down on the inside, I know I got a home in glory, so I'm going to have some glory right here. I'm going to laugh right here. I can't stand sorry Christians who don't know how to laugh and don't know how to have fun. The Bible says that he came that we might enjoy life, so I'm going to enjoy life. I've enjoyed life eating steak, and I've enjoyed life eating a grilled cheese. It don't make a difference to me. As long as my stomach is fed, I can have a good time. I can enjoy life with Jordans, and I can enjoy life with buddies on my feet. It don't make a difference as long as I got Jesus. I can enjoy life with a new Cadillac, but I can enjoy life on the Mitch bus as long as I got King Jesus. And as long as you have the right stuff down on the inside, nothing can keep you down. And so stop letting the world tell you, you gotta have this to be happy, and you gotta have this to be happy, you gotta go there to be happy. I'm happy because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I'm gonna be glad in it. So here's another formula: enjoy your life no matter what's going on. Doesn't mean sad times won't come. Yes, they will come, but guess what I've learned? I've learned that even in sad times, there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a silver lining even in the sad times. I've learned that the fourth man steps in the fire. So all I got to do is keep on trusting in the Lord. That's why we come to church, so we can learn to keep trusting in the Lord. Let's go back to the original story that Jesus was telling, and let's keep reading. Let's look at Matthew 25, verse 16.
The servant who received the five bags of silver began to invest the money and earned five more.
In other words, he began to maximize what he had. Read verse 17.
The servant with two bags of silver also went to work and earned two more.
He didn't say, well, I didn't get five, so I can't do nothing. No, he just took his two and began to work his two. Look at, keep on reading.
But the servant who received the one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money.
So he didn't do anything with it. He just dug a hole in the ground and he stuck it in the ground. He's preserved it. Verse 19.
After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money.
Oh, the master returned and he called for them to give an account. In other words, he acted like an accountant. I gave you this, but now I'm coming back to see what did you do with what I gave you. When we buried Sister Charlotte, I preached the message, what are you doing with your vapor, from the scripture that life is but a vapor. And I want to know, what are you doing with the life that you have? And it's beautiful that the one who had five talents, he began to maximize it. The one who had two began to maximize it. But the one who had one, they dug a hole in the ground and buried it. That leads me to formula number three. Here's formula number three. Put it up there. 86,400 equals 24. Pastor, you told me you was bad at math, but I didn't know you was that bad. Well, no. If you look at it, you'll understand. 86,400 equals 24 because it's 86,400 seconds in every day. And it makes up 24 hours. So every day you wake up, you get 86 seconds, 86,400 seconds. So what do you do with those seconds? Some of us, we can't do nothing with the seconds because this is all we can do. It's good to have technology, but don't waste all your time watching what someone else is doing when you could be doing. Here's the first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created. It didn't say in the beginning, God scrolled. In the beginning, God watched. In the beginning, God commented on somebody else's stuff. Nothing wrong with scrolling. Nothing wrong with watching. Nothing wrong with commenting. But if you waste your 86,400, you can't blame somebody else. Because many times you're watching what someone else is doing and you could be doing. So there is an account for your 86,400. Somebody decided on Sunday morning with my 86,400, I'm going to take some of it and I'm going to come to the house of God and I'm going to worship God. Somebody else decided, oh, I'm tired. I don't feel like doing it. But keep wasting. Now here's the problem though with that. God is the one who keeps giving you the time. So why wouldn't you give some of that time back to him? So what are you doing? Because there's going to come a time in your life you will have to account for what you have done. Put this up next. Let me add this to it. Heaven is watching. In Hebrews 11, the Bible says, that there was a great cloud of witnesses. And it means that those who have gone on, they witness what we are yet doing here. And many of us who go to this church will understand in the last 5 years, we have buried many of our loved ones and our Deliverance Temple members. And I wonder how many of them are looking back at us and wondering, what are we doing with our 86,400? Because heaven is watching. Royce is watching. Mabel's watching. Lionel's watching. Diane is watching. Alan is watching. Jaden is watching. Charlotte is watching. What are we going to do, Deliverance Temple? Are we going to do something with the pain that we had? Or are we just going to sit around and just be like, well, we thank God we're going to go to heaven? No, I know we're going to heaven, but what are we going to do until we get there? The ones who are already in heaven are looking back because they want to be proud of the place that they came from. And I believe they're proud of us, but there's more that we can do. Heaven is watching, and it's not just the ones I named out. I can name more, but let me just put it this way. God is watching. Jesus is watching. The Holy Spirit is watching. So what are you doing with the time that you have been given? What are you doing with the talents you have been given? What are you doing with the treasure you have been given? What are you doing with your vapor? Are you making the most of it? There's more yet to be done yet in this city, in this place, in this neighborhood, in your family, in your mind, with your money, with your education. There's more that can be done, but too often we complain about what we don't have instead of doing with what we do have. Amen. I don't have this. I don't have that. But what do you do? What do you have? Well, I don't have enough money to give my kids the Christmas that I want to give them. Well, give them the Christmas that you can give them. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to get another Christmas if the Lord allows you to live. You're going to get another one. Stop fretting over what you can't do and do what you can do. And this is where creativity springs forth. Many times it's when your back is against the wall that you find out you can do more than what you thought you can do if you would just reframe it and look at it differently. That's going to bring me to formula number four. Formula number four is this. 1997 equals 27. Another formula doesn't make sense, but I'll help it make sense for you. So I'm talking about a year, the year 1997. So in 1997, which would have been 27 years ago, which is this weekend. So I preached my very first message the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 1997. This is the Sunday after Thanksgiving, 2024. So that means that this day marks 27 years that I have been in ministry. So what have I done with my time? Let me just read some things. Let me just put some statistics up there. Go ahead and put this up for them. Let me read it to you. Gary, Michigan City, South Bend, Fort Wayne, Upland, North Webster. North Webster is where Camp Crosley is. West Lafayette, which is where Purdue is. Kokomo, Hartford City, Eaton, Albany, Muncie, Indianapolis. That equals 13. That means I have preached in or spoken in 13 cities in Indiana alone. I have never once asked someone to let me preach. That means that God opened doors. I was prepared for the doors, and I walked in through those doors. Let's move on. Let's read this. Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Colorado, California, North Carolina, which equals 10. These are the 10 states that I have done some level of ministry in. So at least 13 cities in Indiana and at least 10 states. Let's move further. United States, Haiti, South Africa, Mexico. These are four countries that I have done some level of ministry in. And the last one, Mexico, I was able to marry my sister in Mexico on last month. So I'm able to add another country that I have been able to use and function and flow in my ministry. And so let me pause before you can go ahead and clap for that. It's okay to do that. Let me pause and say I'm not that special of a person. I'm just taking what I have. See, when I grew up, I was bothered by all the things I didn't have. And let me tell on myself for just a second. Back in the day when I grew up, all the young men would sit by the drummer and they would all sit to get a chance to get on the drums. I was the last person at the end of the line because I didn't have any rhythm. And they was like, Andre, you sit over there because you ain't got no rhythm. So I'm a black man that don't have a rhythm. Can't really sing. I'm not tall. I'm short. I wasn't born in wealth. There's a whole lot I don't have, but that doesn't stop me from preaching in 13 cities, 10 states, and four different countries because I've taken the little that I had and I made the most with what I have. I maximize what I have. Stop talking about what you don't have, what you can't do, but work with what you got and watch what God can do with your little, because a little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. I've said it several times, but I'll say it again just for clarity. If you take a basketball, put it in my hands, it's just a basketball. You take the same basketball and put it in LeBron James' hands, it's a million-dollar making basketball. It's not the ball, it's who got their hands on it. And so my life is not really that much. My life is not really that special. I'm grateful to have a mother and a father. A lot of people didn't have a mother and a father. I'm grateful to have a mother and father, but they weren't wealthy people. They were college graduates, but they weren't the grandest people, but they made me. They gave me opportunity, and I made the most with the opportunity. And the biggest thing that I did was place my life in the hands of the master. And when you put your life in the hands of the master, I don't care what your history looks like. I don't care if you've been molested. I don't care if you've been dropped. I don't care if you've been stabbed in the back. I don't care if you've been talked about. I don't care if your mama was a crackhead. I don't care if you've been addicted. If you put your life in the hands of the master, he can make something out of your life. How do you maximize your life? You get hooked up with the master and you get hooked up with the king. How do you minimize your life? You talk about all the trouble you've been through. There's nothing wrong with recognizing your trouble, identifying your trouble. When you are in therapy, many times they want to know about your childhood so you can identify your trauma, but you don't allow your trauma to hold you there. You don't allow what mama and daddy did to hold you there. You don't allow the things you went through to hold you there. You use it to springboard into your future. You maximize your future. That's God's math. God can take a messed up person and turn them around. He can put them on the top. He can take a molested child and make them an Oprah Winfrey, because that's where Oprah comes from. She comes from molestation, but made her a billionaire. If you get hooked up with God, he can turn things around. That's why we sing the song, God, turn it around. But too often we're looking at what we don't have instead of the possibility of what we could have. Now, I'm saying my life is not that much, but I had a bit better start than many of you. Many of you don't know your daddy. Many of you didn't have a mother that graduated from college. You didn't have this and that. But look at what you made of your life with the help of the master. Don't let somebody tell you what you can't do. You and God means everything. You plus God means everything. That's God's math. You and God equals everything. You're business owners and you shouldn't be business owners. You're promoted on your job and you shouldn't be promoted on your job. You're doing all kinds of things and you shouldn't be able to do it. Because if you look at your history, it doesn't add up to what it should add up. But God's math is different than everybody's math. When God puts his super on your natural, you can do the supernatural. Let's go on just a few more statistics. TikTok equals 64,000 likes. YouTube, 427,181 views. Instagram, and this is just the top, my top three videos on Instagram have reached 2.6 million views. The little old bald-headed short man from Muncie, Indiana is making an impact all over the world because I took a chance to maximize what God has given me. Hallelujah. And what can you say about yourself? Sometimes you need to sit back and pull out a piece of paper and journal what you've done and where you've been. Talk about the countries you've been able to visit and the places you've been able to go, because the world will tell you you're nothing, and I'm here to tell you, you are not nothing. You are something. You're somebody in God. Now let me backtrack and say, well, what if you're born in Muncie and you've been in Muncie all your life? You haven't seen the ocean, and you ain't seen the lakes, and you haven't seen House on the Hill. All you have is the little that you have, but nothing can stop your imagination. Because in your imagination, you can dream of things. You can see things. I'm here to let you know, don't let your circumstance stop you from being everything God has called you to be. And as long as you're still breathing, you still got an opportunity to be it, do it, see it, have it, achieve it. It still is possible. And I said it before, some people get blessed early and some people get blessed late. Maybe you're on the late blessing train, but baby, when you get it, everybody gonna know this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in his eyes, in our eyes. Rather, let's go on. Before I say this, my seventh grade year, I flunked typing. When I say flunked typing, I mean I got a flat F. But Faith 101, 2005. God Loves Me, 2014. Victorious Worship, 2022. These are three books that I have written and published. The same boy who flunked typing got three books floating out there in the atmosphere that I wrote and published, because you can't tell me what me and God cannot accomplish and cannot achieve. And the scripture says this about the head. The anointing flows from the head down to the skirts of the garment. That means everybody connected to me, you got something in you that you can do. I don't care what you flunked. I don't care what you failed. I don't care what you've fallen in. I don't care what your addictions have been. I don't care what your trouble has been. But because you are connected to somebody that likes to achieve, you can achieve too. Amen. Sometimes it bothers me that I am in Muncie. Not because Muncie is holding me back, but there is a mentality of Muncie that is so mediocre. that people just don't want to dream. They don't want to believe. The type of preaching that I give, it should have this church filled every single Sunday. If you planted me in another city, we wouldn't be able to keep the people in. But God told me to serve in this place. It's sometimes hard in this place because people are just so, oh well, and so que sera, sera, whatever will be. No, you got to make something out of your life. You got to make something happen. You and God got to push doors down when doors are closed. You got to make stuff happen. I wish I was in a place that people understood the power of believing and dreaming and hoping and pushing and dedicating. But guess what? I believe I'm getting it here. I believe we're going to turn the corner around. I believe people are going to see what we're able to do because we have accomplished a lot with a small group, with a small people. We made a difference. We have transformed all kinds of places because we're taking a chance to go further than other people have gone. I don't just look at what people have done and say, that informs what I can do. No, that's just a boost. I can do more than that. I'm grateful for my father. I'm grateful for my bishop, my late father and late bishop. But I plan on doing more than he did because that's what he would want me to do. And he's watching. He's looking down. He don't want me crying forever. There's going to be moments of crying, but he wants me to carry this ministry into the next phase. He, the dreams that he had in his spirit, it's my job to do it. And if I can't do it, I want to pass it to the next person to do it. I want us to achieve everything that God has for us. And not come up with a bunch of excuses. Well, you know, we live in Indiana. We live in Munster. Do you know God knows where you live? Amen. He keeps putting breath in your body, waking you up. So make the most of it. Maximize it. Let's go to formula number 5. Here's a real simple formula we see. Go ahead and put it up. It's this. Be plus do equals have plus rule. Be plus do equals have plus rule. Now, I will pause and say the problem is many of us want to have things, and there's nothing wrong with having things, but God wants us to be first. Sometimes he don't want you to have stuff until you learn how to be kind first. Because if you know how to be kind with nothing, then when he gives you something, you'll still be kind when he gives you something. But some of y'all, you like to be messy with nothing. So why would he bless you so you can be messy with something? But he wants you to be and then do and then have and then rule. Where do you get that from? Let's deviate from the parable for a second. Let's go to the first book of the Bible, the first chapter, dropping down to the 28th verse. It says 28th verse is what?
God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.
All right, let me pause for just a second. These were the very first words that are recorded that God said to people. Now, they weren't the very first words because he said light be, but these are the very first words recorded that he said to his creation. He said what? Read it again. I'll read it. God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the every living thing that moves on the earth. In other words, be, do, have, and rule. In other words, God said, I want you to be fruitful. In other words, fruitfulness happens on the inside before it ever shows up on the outside. But be fruitful. Be wealthy on the inside before wealth ever shows up on the outside. Be wholesome on the inside before wholesome shows up on the outside. But be it and then multiply it. In other words, show somebody else how to do it. One of the worst spirits is somebody who gatekeeps everything. A gatekeeper is, I will do it, but I won't show nobody else how to do it. No, we got to open ourselves. I'm going to do it so you can do it, so we can do it. Because the best thing is if we're doing it together. So be fruitful and multiply. Be, do, have, but then rule. Because whatever you have, the devil, remember earlier we read, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. So everything that you have, Satan's coming after. So what you got to do, you got to rule over it. What do you mean by that, Pastor Andre? Some of the things that gets in the way is us. So the scripture says we have to learn how to rule our spirit, because there are wealthy people who are broke right now because they couldn't rule their anger. They would have been wealthy, but they're sitting in a jail cell because they got angry and couldn't rule it. No, learn how to rule your emotions and govern your emotions so you don't lose what you have. There are husbands who are crying today because they couldn't keep it in the pants, and somehow the wife left them, and now they look back later on and said, I shouldn't have messed over. I had a good woman and now I have no woman because I wouldn't learn how to rule over what I have. So be, do, have, but then rule, dominate it. Don't let the devil mess up what God has given you. One of the worst things that can happen to you is God can take you here and the devil will bring you there. No, don't let it happen. I'm going to be, I'm going to do, I'm going to have, and then I'm going to rule. All right. And so in order to do that, sometimes what God does, he teaches you how to rule when you don't have. In other words, when you don't have nothing, he watches and see what you will do when you don't have. In other words, let's say I want to have a new car. He watches how you take care of the old car you have. If there's McDonald's wrappers and McDonald's boxes all up under the seat, maybe you're not ready for the new until you take care of what you have. Oh, Pastor, I just wish I had more friends. Treat the friends you got right. Treat the people you have right. And God says, if you will rule that, I know you are ready to rule more. We'll get to more of that later. It's simple formulas. It's God's map. Let's get back to the parable, Matthew 25:20.
The servant to whom he had entrusted the five bags of silver came forward with five more and said, Master, you gave me five bags of silver to invest, and I have earned five more.
In other words, I took what you gave me and I made it more. I doubled it. I invested it. I put it away. Why? Let me pause for a second. It doesn't make sense for you running around spending everything on Christmas and you don't have a 401k. Let me get off of that. Let me not. Don't make sense to have all this stuff you're working on for Christmas and you don't have life insurance. Sometimes we want God to bless us, but he wants us to do the simple things first. All right, let's move on. Before I move on, God ain't gonna let me get rid of it. I was told years ago, the greatest gift you can give your family is to have life insurance. So that when you do go away, they are crying not just because they lost you, but they're also crying because of the debt you left them in, the trouble you left them in. It's time out for us having fish fries for funerals and having GoFundMes for funerals when you can take a little money every week and prepare ahead of time. It's simple, it's tight, but it's right. But you got Jordans under the tree for Christmas. But can't nobody do anything if you pass away. When you pass away, the bills should be able to be paid up because you have invested in the simple things. Amen. All right, let's get off of that. Next verse.
The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful
servant.
Well
done, yeah.
You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.
Let's celebrate together. Celebrate good times.
Come on.
All right. Come on. Let's move on. Verse 22.
The servant who had received the two bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me two bags of silver to invest, and I have earned two more.
Now, here's what's interesting. Never in the scripture does he say he gave it to them to invest. But they had the wisdom to know that what you give me today, I need to make it more tomorrow. And so in their mind, they read it as this is an investment opportunity. This is an opportunity to maximize my capacity. This is an opportunity to make myself more than I have been before. Let me pause and share with this. When I came into ministry, it was coming out of college. I came out of college because God had showed me a couple things, and I really felt like one of the things he's told me is to go work with your father in the ministry. Now, in my mind, because before I left, I would help with the sound and the tapes, I thought God was just wanting me to go help with the sound and the tapes. I didn't know God was molding me to be a minister. If I would have known that, I probably would have ran even more. I didn't want no parts of that. But over a course of time, I realized that God wanted me to work in the ministry. Sometimes I got tricked in the ministry. In, I think 2001, I believe, I became the youth pastor of Deliverance Temple. I came home from college in 1995. So 6 years, I now have the title of a youth pastor. But I didn't try to be anybody's youth pastor. I was working with the youth group. There were two women and two men. There was me and another man. There was another woman. I'll give you just one of the woman's name. It was Sister Barbara, and she had a helper. So there were four of us. The two guys, we helped with the boys. The two ladies, they helped with the girls. Well, there came a particular time over a course of a year or a year and a half, maybe two, where Sister Barbara got a little sick, and she said, I'm going to step away from the doing the girls and let this other person do the girls, and you two men can do the boys. And so that's how it worked. Well, over a course of time, the other man stopped helping, and the other woman stopped helping. And so I went to my dad, and I said, well, we're going to have to disband the youth thing because there's nobody left but me. He said, no, you take it over. I'm like, huh? He said, no, you take it over. I was like, dude, the girls and the boys? He said, yeah, take over the whole thing. And then within 6 months, I was the youth pastor. God tricked me into it by making everybody else get busy and do other stuff, and I was stuck with it. But since I was stuck with it, I decided I'm going to make the most of it. So I did the best with what I had, and then what happened is God kept elevating me and elevating me. So from 2001 to 2011, which was another 10 years, then I became the senior pastor of Deliverance Temple. This is not what I wanted, but this is what I accepted because, God, if you place it in my hands, the least I can do is make the most of it. So I've just made the most of the opportunities. I invested. I worked. And so what I did, getting back to my original story, since I came out of school, what I had to do is I had to learn how to study. I had to learn how to go above and beyond. I had to learn how to start reading and delving into things, because one thing I didn't want to do, I didn't want to be training people, and I didn't know anything. The blind can't lead the blind. So I had to double down and study. So I started studying. I started turning down opportunities to go here and go there and go with my friends and do this and do that. And I studied. Then I end up getting married pretty early, and I worked on the things I need to work on, and I became who I became. But it cost me a lot. So now in 2024, I am finishing reading through the Bible. I read through the Bible every year. I'm working on my 15th year of reading through the Bible. And I don't know everything about the Bible yet, but I'm putting in the effort. And even though I read through the Bible every year, that's 66 books I read every year, I pick up another 10 to 15 books outside of that, so that I can stay abreast and stay sharp. That way, when I get up here and I'm talking to y'all, I'm not just talking foolishness and junk. I'm not up here talking about Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was white as snow. No, I got something to say because I'm doing the work. I'm doing the study because God gave me the time to do it. With my 86,400, I got to take some time and double down. But even in the process of all of that, I always wondered what I would be like if I had graduated. Since I came out of school, I always wonder what would I be like if I went back to school. I tried a couple times, it didn't work out, but just in 2024, I got back into school, and now I am in my sixth class, and I have a 4.0 in my sixth class. And I'm still pastoring, and I'm still working, and I'm still raising kids, and I'm still reading my 66 books and my other 15. This is not the time to back up and do less. It's the time to do more and be more. If God opens a door, go through it with all your heart. This is not the time to skimp around, because this is what I want to say, and y'all already know it, but them out there won't know it. When God blesses me and exposes me and puts me on a high level, some folk gonna talk about me. But y'all gonna know the work that I put in to stand on the level that I'm standing on. Everything that is great has a strong foundation. And the deeper the foundation, the higher the high rise can go. When you go to a big city like a Chicago, a New York, a Dallas, and even an Indianapolis, when you see a high rise, they have a deep foundation. And a lot of people want to have a high rise with a little mini foundation. No, you got to dig deep and you got to build down before you're able to go up. When 2024 started, before 2024 started, on the last day of 2023 of our watch night service, we talked about the bamboo tree and how the bamboo tree is one of the tallest trees, the tallest plants. But for the first 5 to 10 years, it just grows downward. And so you don't see anything. It looks like it is nothing because all of the work is going behind the scenes. And that's what's happened with some of y'all. All the work you've been doing is going behind the scenes. But when you shoot up, people are going to say, oh, she thinks she all that. He think he all that. Baby, you don't know the work they done and how far they dug and how deep their foundation is. And when they shoot up, you can't stop them from shooting up because they've done the work to stand on the level they're standing on. And let me tell you this right now. Don't you apologize for where God is taking you. Don't you apologize for another blessing. Don't you apologize for what God is doing in your life, because you've done the work to be where you are. And sometimes people are going to walk away from you because it's going to be too tough. Let them walk. Stop chasing people that's only going to drag you down. Sometimes if they can stand to leave your life, let them leave. Go with who God takes you with. Go with whoever wants to go. Sometimes with Jesus, he had to just take the three. Jesus had multitudes, but when he got on the cross, it was only two of them there, and one of the two denied him right there at the cross. Everybody ain't going to go with you, but don't worry about it, because when you go high, you can't take a bunch of dead weight with you. All right, moving right along, Reed.
The master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together.
Let's go formula 6 through 8. We're going to go on pretty quick. Put the first one up, number 6. Small now equals more later. If you learn how to work with small now, and don't be mad at God because he's keeping you small now, because sometimes small now equals more later. Put the 7 up. It's very similar to that. Small today equals large tomorrow. See, Walmarts are all across the country, but Sam Walton didn't start off with Walmarts. He started off with a little mom and pop store, but he did the best with the little mom and pop store. And now we see Walmarts all over, and the Walton family is a billionaire family. But many times the scripture said this way, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Sometimes it starts small, but don't look at something because it's small and think it's insignificant, because small today can equal large tomorrow. Be faithful over the small stuff. Be faithful over the mundane stuff. Be faithful over the routine stuff. Those of you who go to the gym, the hurts, and many times the progress is small. You can't tell, but over 6 months, you start seeing muscles showing up. You start seeing stuff tone up that you didn't know can tone up. You start seeing things that lift up that you didn't know can lift up. But they didn't see you when you were in the gym. They didn't see you when you got up at 6:30 and you was pumping iron. But small today equals large tomorrow. Let's go to number 8. God plus you plus faithfully handling responsibilities equals celebration. In both cases, the master said, let's celebrate together. But put it back up. God and you, plus faithfully handling responsibilities, being faithful with what you have right now, it equals celebration later on. All right, let's move on. Matthew 25.
Then the 24. Servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate.
Verse 25.
I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back.
He comes up with all the reason why he didn't do what the other ones did. Let's keep reading.
But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it.
I didn't get nothing back from what I gave you. Keep on reading verse 28.
Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver.
That don't sound fair, does it? That don't sound fair that you take it from the one who didn't have much and giving it to the one who did have. But here's the principle in God. If you don't do with what God gave you, if you don't do anything, you don't need it. And so it goes from you and it goes to someone else who's doing something. And that's the problem. Sometimes people look at the folk who have stuff and they be like, man, I don't know why God always blessing them, because they'll do something. They will work with what they've got. And so stop judging people who have a lot, because sometimes you're not willing to do what they did. All right, let's read on.
To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away.
To those who do well with what they're given, the principle is they'll get more. And to those who don't do right with what they're given, they're going to have less. All right? Last verse.
Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right. This gives us formulas 9 through 12. Here we go. Number 9, excuses equal loss. The first thing he said, well, master, I knew you was this, and I knew you came up with a whole bunch of excuses. But excuses equal loss. Because while you are making excuses, somebody else is doing the work. While you're talking about all the reasons why you can't go into the gym, someone else is getting the diabetes in the body, running it out by exercising. And while you're getting sicker, they're getting better. And then you're going to say, well, God healed them. He didn't heal me. No, you're just making excuses. They did what you weren't willing to do. Let's go to number 10, from number 10. Laziness equals wickedness. The Bible called them, said, well done to the other ones, and said to that one, you wicked and lazy servant. So when you're lazy, it's akin to being wicked. Number 11, doing nothing equals extra pain. If you don't do anything with what God has given you, all you're going to do is create extra pain for you and extra pain for the ones around you. Let's go to number 12. And here's the last one. Doing something equals extra gain. So what do you want? Do you want extra pain? Or do you want extra gain? We talked about in abundance to the full, till it overflows. But it's up to you what you're going to do. Are you going to work with what you got? Whatever talent God has given you, are you going to make the most of it? Are you going to master your moments? Are you going to maximize your moments? Are you going to maximize your capacity? If you do, you will have extra gain. If you don't, you will have extra pain. The choice is yours. Let's go to this confession. We'll stay in our seat for this confession. Let's say this together. I'll read it first and then we'll say it together. I will maximize my moments and make the most of my time here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's say it together. I will maximize my moments and make the most of my time here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's rise to our feet. Let's do our communion together.
You're going to make the most of your moments. Yes, we will. All right, let's go into our communion scripture.
And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke and gave to them. Before we eat it, look at that pattern. He blesses it, then he breaks it, then he gives. Many times when you get broken, you feel like you're not blessed. But that's the moment where God's getting ready to multiply you so he can give you. He breaks whatever he blesses. Then he says this, and gave to them and said, take, eat. This is my body. So let's take and let's eat. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he was thankful. He gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Let's drink together now.
All right, let's bow our heads. It may take you a while to figure out how to open it up. It took me a while. I hear y'all. But we'll pray and then you can drink. Dear gracious Heavenly Father God, as we take communion together, we are solidifying that the little you have given us, we're not complaining about it, we're grateful for it. But we show you our gratitude and our attitude because we take what you've given and we're making the most of it. We're maximizing every moment and making the most of what you've given us. And because of that, blessings are at our doorstep waiting for us. And we're going to walk in them and we're not going to apologize for them, but we're going to celebrate together. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.